College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 1:07 p.m. and 69 degrees and windy outside. So you might want to leave your good wig at home and just put a hat on. Because I'm telling you, if you got to cover your head, it is going to blow off. Today might want to be the day that you just let everybody see the real you. Because you don't want your wig. You don't want to be chasing your wig down the street. I don't want that for you. You'll go viral. Somebody will pull a phone out. They will get that video. They will post it on your social media and somebody will recognize you. Whether it's a book club member or a church member or somebody who goes to your mosque or synagogue, they're going to see that. And you don't want to be running down the street yelling and trying to catch your wig. So leave it at home if you're going outside. Okay? That's just a helpful tip. I'm looking every flag here because my neighborhood is so excited about the 4th of July. And it is at attention. Every tree is leaning and bowing as if the queen has walked by. It is very, very windy outside and getting a little cloudy. So they say it's not supposed to rain. That's what they said. So I'm going to just assume that the cloud cover is cloud cover because I believe Chris Reese. Just know that it is very, very windy. Beautiful temperatures. I'm telling you, I love it. And even tomorrow's going to be even better. But we'll talk about the weather in a minute. What I want to talk about now is the fact that we have a program here in the Twin Cities to help families in need. Help the children. Now, if you live in an older home, it may contain lead paint on our walls, the woodwork in your home, or windows. And nobody knows what causes autism or any of the developmental delays. I've been in this community for 7 years. They've done tests and studies on children I know, including my own, to try to figure out what are some of the causes and genetic testing and all this other stuff. Well, one thing I do know is that dust from the lead, it can easily be inhaled and absorbed into the body. And I do know this. Children under the age of 6 are especially vulnerable. It can cause learning and all types of developmental issues in young kids and in pregnant women. So listen, if you're in Hennepin County or you know somebody who's in Hennepin County, I want to make sure you listen to this next segment. It is so vitally important. Hennepin County has a lead removal program dedicated to providing some solutions for homeowners who have lead paint in older homes. And one of those solutions is a grant, right? $15,000 to remove the lead paint from your house. And also testing is available to anyone in the county who needs it. And one of the partner organizations that works with Hennepin County, and I love them because they're a federally qualified health service program, which means that they provide free health care for people in need, right? They're a nonprofit clinic. They're called Neighborhood Health Source. Right. Neighborhood Health Source. And I am so excited to be talking to Miss Erica Denham. She is joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. She is a community health educator working with Neighborhood Health Source in Minneapolis. Erica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Shaletta, for having me.
Now, Erica, for our listeners who may not know much about Neighborhood Health Source, and I know about federally qualified health programs because, you know, Sean is, you know, graduated from medical school, and he does community health. So he's worked at places like Open Cities. And so I understand how vitally important these health hubs are to folks in the community. But I want to know about Neighborhood Health Source and the mission and the services that you provide.
So Neighborhood Health Source is a community clinic located in three different locations around the Twin Cities. Actually, four. Three in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and then there's one in Coon Rapids. And we are a, quote, as you stated, a federally qualified low-cost healthcare clinic. We see patients that have insurance, and we have a sliding scale fee for those that do not have insurance. We're located, two of our clinics are located in Northeast Minneapolis on Sheridan and Central, and then we have Fremont Clinic in North Minneapolis, and then we have one located in Coon Rapids.
Yes, and that's the one that I passed by on my way to church, the one in North Minneapolis, and several of my church members go there and talk about the wonderful service and the quality care that you all provide there. But, you know, they didn't know, the folks in my church didn't know about the service that you provided with the testing for lead. Now, explain how Neighborhood Health Source works with the county on this lead removal program that they have.
So we're partnered with Hennepin County to test children and mothers that are expecting. And then there's a grant offered. So someone would come out to the home, test the window sills, test the dust. If they qualify, there's other home services that they could qualify for, but they could also qualify to get the lead for new windows.
Okay, now I'm a parent, right? I've got these four kids. And when I say we're going to the doctor, all hell is breaking loose because that's the last place they want to be. Now, if I say Raising Cane's or Chuck E. Cheese or Valley Fair, then, you know, they put on their shoes and they're bright. They put on their shoes, girl. They beat me to the car. I say the doctor, all of a sudden they got to clean up and they got to go to the bathroom and they're moving extra slow. And so, you know, if parents are thinking about bringing their kids there to be tested for lead, talk to me about that process. What's that like?
Well, first off, I'm a phlebotomist, and our staff in the lab are certified phlebotomists. We are skilled to work with children. We can help calm them. It's just a quick capillary finger poke.
Okay.
It's not a long process. It's just a small finger poke. The test is sent out. It's just pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. And so how are they, how are the test results communicated once they take that finger poke to check to see if their children have, you know, been exposed to lead? Do you all call them back? Do they get something in the mail? How does that work?
Yes. So the doctor, then they would have to have an appointment with the doctor if it was positive. If it's
okay.
Not positive, of course, we'll call them back and let them know that everything's good. You're good. You're good to go from there. But if anything's positive, yes, they would have to schedule a appointment to see a provider.
And, you know, do they have to make an appointment? Because I'm getting a text message from somebody at my church right now. She's a grandma, and she's been living in this house in North Minneapolis a long time. Her grandkids are there for the summer, and she needs to make sure that her grandkids are safe. Girl, people be texting me while I'm talking on the radio like we all just in the at the bingo hall together, girl. Like, I ain't doing my job, girl. They just, girl, phone just blowing up, girl. I'm like, girl, I am on my job. And so they want to know that information.
Yes. So it's an easy call to the clinic, or you can go online to neighborhoodhealthsource.org. But it's a quick call. One number, 612-588-9411. Call to schedule the appointment to be seen. It's pretty simple.
Okay, give me that number again because I was in the middle of texting it to somebody at my church. 612-588-9411. Okay. And so this is the thing that I want to make sure we talk about, because someone had sent me a DM while we were talking and said, you know, I don't have small kids in the home, but I have a daycare. Can, you know, my daycare come in and get tested, because they don't live in the house. They live in other parts of the city, but, you know, they're not particularly in Hennepin County, but I want to get them tested. Do the kids that come in have to live in the house? Can they, like, be part of a daycare? Care or grandparent?
They can be a part of the daycare, grandparent, whoever takes care of those children need to bring them in. But yes, if that daycare provider's home is built before 1978, that's a concern. She wants to get her daycare checked out to see if there's any kind of lead poison exposure.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Okay. Now, anything else our listeners need to know about lead poisoning and neighborhood health source? Because I want to make sure before we let you go, this is so important. As children are out for the summer, they're spending more time in the house. They're not at school. They're visiting grandparents who have older homes. They're full-time daycare. Some of them at a daycare center for the first time in Hennepin County, and spending, you know, 6 to 7 to 8 hours there while their parents work. You know, folks want to just make sure that their kids are safe.
Right, right. So lead exposure is very serious. It's serious on the mental and the physical harm to the unborn child, to a mother that's carrying a baby, or children six and under. So it's really important, if anyone's concerned, to bring their kids in to get tested. And Neighborhood Health Source, we're here for the community. Our clinics are easy, accessible, easy parking, easy appointments to make. 20, 30 minutes, you're in and out.
Okay, so it's not going to be an all-day thing. You come in, you get checked. You've got 4 locations. So if you're in Hennepin County and you live in an older home and you have questions, or you just want to make sure that your grandkids or daycare kids are safe, this is something that you can do. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's not going to be too taxing on the kids, but it needs to be done to make sure they are safe. Miss Erica Denham, thank you so much for being on the show.
Shaletta, thank you. And hey, that was funny about the wig. We don't want our good wigs lined up.
We don't want our good wig, right? We got to save the good wigs for church. We let the regular wig fly down the street, you know, but not that, you know, not that good wig, not that good Sunday morning wig. No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Right. Thank you, ma'am.
You have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
All right.
Too.
No thank problem. You. And y'all stick around. When we come back, we got to talk about this presidential debate. I'm feeling some kind of way right now. I have to tell y'all. It is 1:23. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I am feeling emotions after watching that presidential debate. You know, it apparently it used to be, and it's not anymore, that the president was, you know, sometimes considered, you know, the one of the smartest men in the country, at least one of the brightest, most charismatic, somebody that we could look to guide and lead our nation and our world and forward progress, whether it is arms or technology or space and exploration, goods and services, whatever it is, you know. And you have to at least be it just used to be the best and the brightest, like the two parties that picked the best that we got. This is the best that we got to offer, you know. And we look forward to these debates because it was two intellectual minds going at it toe to toe. Who knows the ins and outs and everything that we need them to know about this country, and what's the GDP and what's the GPD and ChatGPT and what percentage of people are homeless in California, and what's the plan to do something about you know, the border situation, and you know, how many crimes have been committed, and what's the strain on the resources in other parts of the country. And, you know, all, we expect them to have these answers because we don't know. All we know is what we see on the news and what we read. So we're expecting these people to, the people who are running for president, to have some answers, some solutions, some plans, so that we can sleep good at night. I'm just saying, y'all, I saw that debate. I have not slept since. That was, I could have put my kids up there for what we saw and what we watched. I don't care if you are Democrat or Republican. That should have terrified you. These two men are too old to be running for president. Both of them. You can put everything else aside. You can put their ideals, what they believe in, what party affiliation. They're just too damn old. Too old to try to sit up and do this job for another 4 years. This job is stressful. This job takes a lot out of you. We have seen how Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and everybody else has gone into this office and how it has aged them. So there's a lot of stress that goes along with being president of the United States. Hell, you can't even be the president of your Girl Scout troop without having a stressful situation go on here and there. Imagine being the president of the United States and the travel involved in that. And the meeting of the minds. These men are too old. These men are too old. I was embarrassed that the Democratic Party had teams of people preparing Joe Biden to walk out on that stage and debate Donald Trump. And everybody on that team said he's ready. I'm talking about the makeup artist, the hair plug man, because you know there's hair plugs. Speaking of good wigs, the person who was putting the suit together, and then the prep team. Who made sure he got out? Everybody was in agreement. Nobody raised their hand and said, you know, y'all, he just seems like an old man. And this is not a good look. He's not going to do well. Where is the young adult in the room? Because apparently the grown-ups are too scared to say anything. Somebody's got to raise their hand. And don't gaslight me. Don't try to gaslight me and tell me he just had one bad debate. No, ma'am. That is age. And you know, you age out of things. One of the things my great-grandmother told me, bless her heart, God rest her soul, she was 99 and a half years old when she died. And she said, she gone to the hospital once. And I said, well, what are you in the hospital for this time? And she said, oh, my blood pressure keeps dropping. I said, well, are they going to give you something for it? Because you can't just have your blood pressure dropping. It's like she'd be sitting there talking to people, and then the blood pressure would just drop. And she would just fall asleep. And they didn't know if she was dead. They couldn't wake her up. They would take her to the emergency room. They get her blood pressure back up. They'd send her home. And it happened several times. And I said, Grandmother, is there anything that they can give you to elevate your blood pressure and keep it in a range so that you're not mid-sentence falling asleep and people can't wake you up and they think you're dead? And she said, baby, sometimes you can outlive your medicine. There's no medicine that they can give me at 99 and a half years old that's going to force my blood pressure to do anything it doesn't want to do. I've outlived my medicine. She was too old to take anything that was going to help her. These men have outlived this office. Joe Biden don't have no business running for president. No business. And the fact that they have shut out anybody who wants to run against him, saying that he is the candidate, shows me that we have not learned anything from Hillary Clinton running against Donald Trump. Because this is Hillary's year. We're gonna put everything behind Hillary. Didn't care what anybody thought. Didn't care what the people were saying. You got to listen to folks. And Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Jill Biden and everybody's like, oh, this is just one bad debate and he's going to come back. You can't come back from being too old. Stop trying to gaslight the people. The people see what we saw. And you know what? Everybody's like, oh my God, he's not going to be able to be president. He can't run. Okay, can we back this train all the way up? I'm scared that he's president now. I'm afraid that he is president now. This man does not look like he's capable of running this country. That's why we have a vice president. Why hasn't he stepped down? Why hasn't his wife said, you know what, baby, come on. This time is up. You've outlived this office. Give it to Kamala. That's what we have a vice president for. Let her do her job. She steps in when you can't do it. You can't. I'm scared. I don't know about y'all. I'm afraid. Don't tell me he just had a bad debate. This man is too old. And you can't win an election on fear. And we all know what's about to happen. They're about to ramp up the Donald Trump commercials. And what a horrible person he is, and how he's been indicted, and how he's a liar, and all the wrong things and the lies he told during that debate. Because Lord have mercy, I stopped counting after 15. That's what they're going to do. Instead of saying, you know what? It's time. When your wife, sometimes your wife got to pull you to the side because you don't know no better. You're a man. You don't know. That's what you got a wife for. So she can tell you what to do. Somebody got to stop drinking the Kool-Aid and see things for what they are and make a decision to pivot quickly before it's too late. I don't know how we can pretend that we don't see what we see. You know, we always want to accuse Trump of gaslighting, of making up stuff, alternate facts, half truths, lies, you know, coming out just because, you know, it's Tuesday for no reason. Don't have to lie. Just lying. But at some point, we got to say, these people are gaslighting. They really want us to believe that Joe Biden, this man that we saw in the debate, who walked out of there, looked like he could barely make it to the stage. And then once he got on stage, had a piss poor performance and could barely finish his sentences, looked like he was falling asleep. Y'all want me to believe that this is the best we got? And it's all the Democrats could come up with. Like Dean Phillips is not sitting there. Like Kamala Harris is not sitting there. Like Hakeem Jeffries is not sitting there. It's too many people in the bag of tricks that the Democrats have, that they have shut out, intentionally shut out, and kept from running for office so we could keep Joe in the seat that he's in. This is not going to mobilize young people to get out to vote. These young people, my son said, Mama, who am I going to vote for? The white man or the old white man or the older white man? When you use words like malarkey in a debate, when you use words like malarkey in your everyday sentences, when you typing up words like malarkey in your social media post to express yourself, sir, you have outlived your position. And I need somebody to be the no man. Not the nomad, the no man. Somebody got to stand up and say no. Somebody got to say that's enough. Somebody got to say, you know what? This ain't it. I have several trusted advisors, girlfriends who I've known at least 17 years going up to 40. And I tell them all the time, I need me some yes women. Because all y'all say is no. When I want to do something crazy, I say, no, don't do that. You know, no, that's not a good idea, Shaletta. No, Shaletta, if I were you, I would not do that. And I would not run my business that way. If I were you, I would take this other option. They don't yes woman me. They don't give me the green light if the red light is right in front of me. I need somebody to put up a stop sign and say, you know what? And just be mad. Do we no longer admit when we made mistakes? When we do wrong things and we have the best intention, but we realize this ain't it. This not going to work. Are we no longer man and woman enough in this country to say, you know what? I had this idea. I thought it was going to work. It's not going to work. So I'm going to pivot and I'm going to do something different. And so here's the thing that I'm going to do that's different than the thing that I was going to do in the first place. And so I thought this was going to work. I realized it's not working. And so I'm going to do something different. Are we there where we just dig our heels in and we don't realize that we need to pivot and then we pivot? And we just stick with a plan, even if it's a bad plan, even if it's a plan we know is not going to work. We just hang out with that plan. Okay. All right. Okay. We're going to see how that work out for you. I often say I don't like being a divorced parent because there's a lot more stress on me than I realize. You know, all the stuff that Sean did as the husband and caretaker is now on me. And so I'm like, why am I so stressed out lately? Like, what is going on? It's because I've got responsibilities and roles that I've never had before. I was like, you know what? It is hard work being a man because y'all got a lot of stuff to deal with. I don't ever want the role of a man. I don't ever want to be the provider and the caretaker and pay the bills and be the heavy lifter and be the security guard. I don't want that. I don't like the way it feels. I don't. I was like, you know what? I thought I wasn't going to get married, but I'm going to get married just so I could put the stress of being head of household on somebody else, which made me remember and think about the fact that June is Men's Mental Health Month. I say all the time, I don't ever want to know what it's like to be a black man. Ever. Because the stress of what men have to go through. When, you know, one of the things that I tried to pride myself on is that when Sean walked in the house when I was married, that it was a place of peace. And, you know, I'll tell the kids, don't stress daddy out. If you got something, you know, we're going to talk about it over the weekend. If it's an emergency, let mommy know. And then we'll go talk to daddy together later. But let him get in the house. Let him get his clothes off. Let him take a shower. Let him do whatever. And then we're going to love on him first. Because as a man, I don't even know what he's had to deal with. And, you know, I got to get married again because I want to do all this work by myself. And I really want to make sure that I understand the importance of men's mental health. And Men's Mental Health Month is a great way and a great opportunity to talk about it. And so I invited Dr. Jerry Huffman from United Healthcare of Minnesota. Dr. Jerry is the Chief Medical Officer for Population Health with United Healthcare. Dr. Jerry, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. And I was obviously listening to you talk about, you know, all the things about family and marriage and men and women. And is it okay if I add just a little bit to that?
Please, because you are an expert. I'm learning from you and I'm taking notes.
Oh, this is personal stuff, but it's you learn at work and you learn at home, right? If you're in a constant state of learning. So we're walking around on a college campus earlier this week with my youngest. It's orientation. He's heading off to college this fall.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are walking around with him, and I am blessed to have been with my best friend now for 32 years. And I'm looking at him, and we were talking about different things we do, and there's we've developed sort of this natural division of labor in our family. And we could not have had the blessings we had if it wasn't, like you said, for each other. I'll give you a good example. I have absolutely no idea how much money is in our bank's account. I give her my money. She's managed everything for 32 years. I trust her with my life. And having that, like you said, that person that you can lean on, that person that you know you're sharing everything with, to do it alone, God bless you. It is so hard, and I'm so impressed that you're able to do it and to be a radio star.
Oh, well, you know, that was first. That's first. Kids come second. I got to be this radio star first, right? But, you know, the one thing about women, and you talk about your bride, is that we will go get attention. Right. We will go to the doctor and we'll say, you know what? I need some preventative care. I need to make my mental health a priority. I need to make my physical health a priority. Men won't go to the doctor until there's internal bleeding and organs start shutting down. What is going on? Why won't men go to the doctor?
I got news for you. Sometimes even the bleeding doesn't get them to go. I tell you, but it's about women to a certain extent, and then not the way you're thinking. We did this research. We have something we call the Health Activation Index. And what we do is we measure decision-making, the different decisions that a person can make in terms of how we measure, 53 of them. And we get that down to the belly button level, every person within that's covered by United Healthcare. Mm. And we've noticed that if the Health Activation Index of a woman in the family goes up by, oh, say, 10 points, the health activation index of everyone in the family goes up 10 points. Mm-hmm. And so the take-home message for me in terms of leading my organization, if I'm talking to clients around this country and they're saying, man, we just aren't getting men, for example, go get their colon cancer screening. I mm-hmm. say the way to get to them, if there's a woman in the house, it's through her. The chances of you successfully convincing them, the man runs at around 25-30%. But if you successfully convince the woman of the family that this is important, you can almost count on that man will be showing up for his colon cancer screening.
And you know why? Because we're going to nag the hell out of him until he does. Have you got the screening? Are you going to get the screening? Why haven't you gotten the screening? Are you going to call these people? Do you want me to call them? I'm trying not to nag you, but you won't listen. You know what? I'm going to call your mom if your mom's still alive and let her know you haven't gotten your cancer screening. I tried to tell you. Then she's going to call all your sisters. Have you talked to him? He won't listen to me. And then your sister's going to nag the hell out of you. That's how that works. That is the chain of command, Dr. Jerry.
It is absolutely true, and it saved my life. Oh, gosh, we're going back 22 years ago. My wife's a nurse, so we're a cliche. We met at work. And she made sure, even though I was young and very fit, still competitive in distance running, she's like, you got to get your annual. And I put it off. I feel great. I feel fine. Mm-hmm. She made me go. And one of the things that's important when a man goes, or even a woman, when you go, for that annual preventative visit, you are the key participant. I got news for you. If you have cancer inside of you and you aren't telling me about an ache or a pain or something going on that you've noticed, there's an extremely good chance that we miss it and it goes by. You've got to participate. So in this visit that she made me go to, I participated. And I said, I have this pain here in my neck. And my doc says, well, you work out pretty hard. You're running, you know, 80 miles a week. Let's probably do that. And I said, I don't know. I think I feel a mass in here. Mm-hmm. And he felt, he's like, I'm not sure I feel anything, but you know what? We'll check it out. Well, lo and behold, 13 days later, I'm starting chemotherapy for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So listen to the woman in your life. It may save it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Dr. Jerry, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about more tips. Since June is Men's Health Month, to raise awareness about the health challenges that men face and encourage them to take action and improve their health. More with Dr. Jerry when we come back. He's a mighty good man. He is joining us today, Dr. Jerry Hotman, Chief Medical Officer for Population Health with United Healthcare. It is June. It is Men's Health Month. He has been giving us tips about how men can take better care of themselves. And one of the tips that you have, and I know this is hard for men to do, Dr. Jerry, is know when to take it easy, especially when we've got 5,100 honeydew things for you to do. Taking time to de-stress. You know, we got she sheds, we got girlfriends trips, we got the wineries, we've got the spa. Y'all don't really, Dr. Jerry, y'all don't really got nothing.
No, I agree. Men need to take it down a notch. They need to spend time with their family. Mental health is key. They don't pay attention to it. They don't pay attention to the stress and anxiety. It's important to deal with these things when they're little and to find those people and professional resources in your life to use it. A lot of men do not want to participate in mental health care. There's certainly a lot of ego involved there. And one of the great tools now that we're seeing some fantastic results from is the ability to use virtual health care so that you don't have to drive to an office. You can do it in the privacy of your home, in the privacy of your car. People are having mental health visits with professionals. And we're seeing about a 30% uptake in utilization of that in terms of men between, oh, say, 28 and 55. And so that's a real huge place to go. But time spent with family and loved ones, like you said, taking it down a notch, that's really important, taking care of yourself time.
Okay. Now, I know that you do this every day. If there's some men listening, what's the one thing that you would want them to do before you leave the show, Dr. Jerry? Out of all the tips that you've given us, the one most important thing?
I want to convince them, and I'm going to give you two more reasons. I already gave you one. I'm going to give you two more reasons why they should visit their doc regularly for those preventative visits. Obviously, there's things when you get to the right age like colon cancer screening and skin cancer screening and prostate. But there's a lot of empty time in there before you get to that age that's key, that docs are not seeing men. In fact, we just looked at millennials within our population of about 14 million people. And millennial men, we have almost 10% of millennial men that have not seen a doctor or filled a prescription in 2 years. So that's the number one thing. I'm going to give them a couple reasons why they should do that, right? Because they don't listen to the stuff like, well, we want you to go there for your colon cancer screening. Because frankly,
right,
men are not as good at listening to bad news as women are.
Right.
So I'll tell you what, here's two things. One, I guarantee this is going to sound familiar. You tell your man, I need you to go to the doc. He says, why? I feel fine. There's nothing wrong with me. That is correct. So the number one reason I want to give them to go to that doc this year is to confirm that nothing is wrong with you. And then when you go there and you confirm it, you can feel good. You did it. And if you confirm for the next 45 years that nothing is wrong with you, guess what? You're winning the game. Second reason I want to convince them to go see that doc every year just for a quick visit. It's important to catch little things before they come big things, like blood pressure, which in black men is a killer. Blood pressure, you don't feel it. It is a silent killer. This is how you end up with heart attacks and strokes down the line. You pick up that high blood pressure when you're 37 years old, and you take a little tiny pill once a day, and you don't have that heart attack 22 years later. You don't have that stroke when you're 58. So key things to understand, confirm nothing's wrong, catch little things before they become big things. When you're there, your doc will make sure if you're age appropriate that you get your preventative screening. And last but not least, like me, listen to that woman in your life. When she gets you to go, they may find something unexpected that can save your life.
Well, Dr. Jerry, I'm so glad that you are here because I know folks like my friend Jimmy Francis, high-stress job. Jonathan Weinhagen, high-stress job. Chad Hartman, high-stress job, caring for special needs children just like Jonathan. And you know, these are my friends, and I want them to live a long time. And in order to do that, they've got to get to the doctor. We've been talking to Dr. Jerry Hartman. He's been joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And I want you to keep joining us. We've got another hour of the Shaletta Show coming up. It is 1:07 p.m. and 69 degrees and windy outside. So you might want to leave your good wig at home and just put a hat on. Because I'm telling you, if you got to cover your head, it is going to blow off. Today might want to be the day that you just let everybody see the real you. Because you don't want your wig. You don't want to be chasing your wig down the street. I don't want that for you. You'll go viral. Somebody will pull a phone out. They will get that video. They will post it on your social media and somebody will recognize you. Whether it's a book club member or a church member or somebody who goes to your mosque or synagogue, they're going to see that. And you don't want to be running down the street yelling and trying to catch your wig. So leave it at home if you're going outside. Okay? That's just a helpful tip. I'm looking every flag here because my neighborhood is so excited about the 4th of July. And it is at attention. Every tree is leaning and bowing as if the queen has walked by. It is very, very windy outside and getting a little cloudy. So they say it's not supposed to rain. That's what they said. So I'm going to just assume that the cloud cover is cloud cover because I believe Chris Reese. Just know that it is very, very windy. Beautiful temperatures. I'm telling you, I love it. And even tomorrow's going to be even better. But we'll talk about the weather in a minute. What I want to talk about now is the fact that we have a program here in the Twin Cities to help families in need, help their children. Now, if you live in an older home, it may contain lead paint on our walls, the woodwork in your home, or windows. And nobody knows what causes autism or any of the developmental delays. I've been in this community for 7 years. They've done tests and studies on children I know, including my own, to try to figure out what are some of the causes and genetic testing and all this other stuff. Well, one thing I do know is that dust from the lead, it can easily be inhaled and absorbed into the body. And I do know this. Children under the age of 6 are especially vulnerable. It can cause learning and all types of developmental issues in young kids and in pregnant women. So listen, if you're in Hennepin County or you know somebody who's in Hennepin County, I want to make sure you listen to this next segment. It is so vitally important. Hennepin County has a lead removal program dedicated to providing some solutions for homeowners who have lead paint in older homes. And one of those solutions is a grant, right? $15,000 to remove the lead paint from your house. And also testing is available to anyone in the county who needs it. And one of the partner organizations that works with Hennepin County, and I love them because they're a federally qualified health service program, which means that they provide free health care for people in need, right? They're a nonprofit clinic. They're called Neighborhood Health Source. Right. Neighborhood Health Source. And I am so excited to be talking to Miss Erica Denham. She is joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. She is a community health educator working with Neighborhood Health Source in Minneapolis. Erica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Shaletta, for having me.
Now, Erica, for our listeners who may not know much about Neighborhood Health Source, and I know about federally qualified health programs because, you know, Sean is, you know, graduated from medical school and he does community health. So he's worked at places like Open Cities. And so I understand how vitally important these health hubs are to folks in the community. But I want to know about Neighborhood Health Source and the mission and the services that you provide.
So Neighborhood Health Source is a community clinic located in 3 different locations around the Twin Cities. Actually, 4. 3 in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and then there's one in Coon Rapids. And we are a, as you stated, a federally qualified low-cost healthcare clinic. We see patients that have insurance, and we have a sliding scale fee for those that do not have insurance. We're located, 2 of our clinics are located northeast Minneapolis on Sheridan and Central, and then we have Fremont Clinic in North Minneapolis, and then we have one located in Coon Rapids.
Yes, and that's the one that I passed by on my way to church, the one in North Minneapolis, and several of my church members go there and talk about the wonderful service and the quality care that you all provide there. But, you know, they didn't know, the folks in my church didn't know about the service that you provided with the testing for lead. Now, explain how Neighborhood Health Source works with the county on this lead removal program that they have.
So we're partnered with Hennepin County to test children and mothers that are expecting. And then there's a grant offered. So someone would come out to the home, test the window sills, test the dust. If they qualify, there's other home services that they could qualify for, but they could also qualify to get the lead for new windows.
Okay, now I'm a parent, right? I've got these four kids. And when I say we're going to the doctor, all hell is breaking loose, because that's the last place they want to be. Now, if I say Raising Cane's or Chuck E. Cheese or Valley Fair, then, you know, they put on their shoes and they're bright. They put on their shoes, girl. They beat me to the car. I say the doctor, all of a sudden they got to clean up and they got to go to the bathroom and they're moving extra slow.
Right.
And so, you know, if parents are thinking about bringing their kids there to be tested for lead, talk to me about that process. What's that like?
Well, first off, I'm a phlebotomist, and our staff in the lab are certified phlebotomists. We are skilled to work with children. We can help calm them. It's just a quick capillary finger poke.
Okay.
It's not a long process. It's just a small finger poke. The test is sent out. It's just pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. And so how are they, how are the test results communicated once they take that finger poke to check to see if their children have, you know, been exposed to lead? Do you all call them back? Do they get something in the mail? How does that work?
Yes. So the doctor, then they would have to have an appointment with the doctor if it was positive. If it's
okay.
Not positive, of course, we'll call them back and let them know that everything's good. You're good. You're good to go from there. But if anything's positive, yes, they would have to schedule an appointment to see a provider.
And, you know, do they have to make an appointment? Because I'm getting a text message from somebody at my church right now. She's a grandma, and she's been living in this house in North Minneapolis a long time. Her grandkids are there for the summer, and she needs to make sure that her grandkids are safe. Girl, people be texting me while I'm talking on the radio like we all just in at the bingo hall together, girl. Like, I ain't doing
That's
my
okay.
job, girl. They just, girl, phone That's just okay. blowing up, girl. I'm like, girl, I am on my job. And so they want to know that information.
Yes. So it's an easy call to the clinic, or you can go online to neighborhoodhealthsource.org. But it's
okay.
a quick call. One number, 612-588-9411. Call to schedule the appointment to be seen. It's pretty simple.
Okay, give me that number again, because I was in the middle of texting it to somebody at my church. 612-588-9411. Okay, and so... This is the thing that I want to make sure we talk about, because someone had sent me a DM while we were talking and said, you know, I don't have small kids in the home, but I have a daycare. Can, you know, my daycare kids come in and get tested, because they don't live in the house. They live in other parts of the city, but, you know, they're not particularly in Hennepin County, but I want to get them tested. Do the kids that come in have to live in the house? Can they, like, be part of a daycare? Care or grandparent?
They can be a part of the daycare, grandparent. The whoever takes care of those children needs to bring them in. But yes, if that daycare provider's home is built before 1978, that's a concern. She wants to get her daycare checked out to see if there's any kind of lead poison exposure.
Okay, All right, that sounds good. Okay, now, anything else our listeners need to know about lead poisoning and neighborhood health source? Because I want to make sure before we let you go, this is so important. As children are out for the summer, they're spending more time in the house. They're not at school. They're visiting grandparents who have older homes. They're full-time daycare, some of them at a daycare center for the first time in Hennepin County, and spending, you know, 6 to 7 to 8 hours there while their parents work. You know, folks want to just make sure that their kids are safe.
Right, right. So lead exposure is very serious. It's serious on the mental and the physical harm to the unborn child, to a mother that's carrying a baby, or children six and under. So it's really important, if anyone's concerned, to bring their kids in to get tested. And Neighborhood Health Source, we're here for the community. Our clinics are easy, accessible, easy parking, easy appointments to make, 20, 30 minutes, you're in and out.
Okay, so it's not going to be an all-day thing. You come in, you get checked. You've got 4 locations. So if you're in Hennepin County and you live in an older home and you have questions, or you just want to make sure that your grandkids or daycare kids are safe, this is something that you can do. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's not going to be too taxing on the kids, but it needs to be done to make sure they are safe. Miss Erica Denham, thank you so much for being on the show.
Shaletta, thank you. And hey, that was funny about the wig. We don't want our good wigs flying out.
We don't want our good wig, right? We got to save the good wigs for church. We let the regular wig fly down the street, you know, but not that, you know, not that good wig, not that good Sunday morning wig. No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
You have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
All right, no problem. And y'all stick around. When we come back, we got to talk about this presidential debate. I'm feeling some kind of way right now. I have to tell y'all, it is 1:23. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I am feeling emotions after watching that presidential debate. You know, it apparently it used to be, and it's not anymore, that the president was, you know, sometimes considered, you know, the one of the smartest men in the country, at least one of the brightest, most charismatic, somebody that we could look to guide and lead our nation and our world and forward progress, whether it is arms or technology or space and exploration, goods and services, whatever it is, you know. And you have to at least be it just used to be the best and the brightest, like the two parties, they picked the best that we got. This is the best that we got to offer, you know. And we look forward to these debates because it was two intellectual minds going at it toe to toe. Who knows the ins and outs and everything that we need them to know about this country, and what's the GDP and what's the GPD and ChatGPT and what percentage of people are homeless in California, and what's the plan to do something about you know, the border situation, and you know, how many crimes have been committed, and what's the strain on the resources in other parts of the country. And, you know, all, we expect them to have these answers because we don't know. All we know is what we see on the news and what we read. So we're expecting these people to, the people who are running for president, to have some answers, some solutions, some plans, so that we can sleep good at night. I'm just saying, y'all, I saw that debate. I have not slept since. That was, I could have put my kids up there for what we saw and what we watched. I don't care if you are Democrat or Republican. That should have terrified you. These two men are too old to be running for president. Both of them. You can put everything else aside. You can put their ideals, what they believe in, what party affiliation. They're just too damn old. Too old to try to sit up and do this job for another 4 years. This job is stressful. This job takes a lot out of you. We have seen how Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and everybody else has gone into this office and how it has aged them. So there's a lot of stress that goes along with being president of the United States. Hell, you can't even be the president of your Girl Scout troop without having a stressful situation go on here and there. Imagine being the president of the United States and the travel involved in that. In the meeting of the minds. These men are too old. These men are too old. I was embarrassed that the Democratic Party had teams of people preparing Joe Biden to walk out on that stage and debate Donald Trump. And everybody on that team said he's ready. I'm talking about the makeup artist, the hair plug man, because you know there's hair plugs. Speaking of good wigs. The person who was putting the suit together. And then the prep team. Who made sure he got out? Everybody was in agreement. Nobody raised their hand and said, you know, y'all, he just seems like an old man. And this is not a good look. He's not going to do well. Where is the young adult in the room? Because apparently the grown-ups are too scared to say anything. Somebody's got to raise their hand. And don't gaslight me. Don't try to gaslight me and tell me he just had one bad debate. No, ma'am. That is age. And you know, you age out of things. One of the things my great-grandmother told me, she, bless her heart, God rest her soul, she was 99 and a half years old when she died. And she said, she gone to the hospital once. And I said, well, what are you in the hospital for this time? And she said, oh, my blood pressure keeps dropping. I said, well, are they going to give you something for it? Because you can't just have your blood pressure dropping. It's like she'd be sitting there talking to people, and then the blood pressure would just drop. And she would just fall asleep. And they didn't know she was dead. They couldn't wake her up. They would take her to the emergency room. They'd get her blood pressure back up. They'd send her home. And it happened several times. And I said, grandmother, is there anything that they can give you to elevate your blood pressure and keep it in a range so that you're not mid-sentence falling asleep and people can't wake you up and they think you're dead? And she said, baby, sometimes you can outlive your medicine. There's no medicine that they can give me at 99 and a half years old that's going to force my blood pressure to do anything it doesn't want to do. I've outlived my medicine. She was too old to take anything that was going to help her. These men have outlived this office. Joe Biden don't have no business running for president. No business. And the fact that they have shut out anybody who wants to run against him, saying that he is the candidate, shows me that we have not learned anything from Hillary Clinton running against Donald Trump. Because this is Hillary. This is Hillary's year. We're gonna put everything behind Hillary. Didn't care what anybody thought. Didn't care what the people were saying. You got to listen to folks. And Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Jill Biden and everybody's like, oh, this is just one bad debate and he's going to come back. You can't come back from being too old. Stop trying to gaslight the people. The people see what we saw. And you know what? Everybody's like, oh, my God, he's not going to be able to be president. He can't run. Okay, can we back this train all the way up? I'm scared that he's president now. I'm afraid that he is president now. This man does not look like he's capable of running this country. That's why we have a vice president. Why hasn't he stepped down? Why hasn't his wife said, you know what, baby, come on. This time is up. You've outlived this office. Give it to Kamala. That's what we have a vice president for. Let her do her job. She steps in when you can't do it. You can't. I'm scared. I don't know about y'all. I'm afraid. Don't tell me he just had a bad debate. This man is too old. And you can't win an election on fear. And we all know what's about to happen. They're about to ramp up the Donald Trump commercials. And what a horrible person he is, and how he's been indicted, and how he's a liar, and all the wrong things and the lies he told during that debate. Because Lord have mercy, I stopped counting after 15. That's what they're going to do. Instead of saying, you know what? It's time. When your wife, sometimes your wife got to pull you to the side because you don't know no better. You're a man. You don't know. That's what you got a wife for. So she can tell you what to do. Somebody got to stop drinking the Kool-Aid and see things for what they are and make a decision to pivot quickly before it's too late. I don't know how we can pretend that we don't see what we see. You know, we always want to accuse Trump of gaslighting, of making up stuff, alternate facts, half truths, lies, you know, coming out just because, you know, it's Tuesday for no reason. Don't have to lie. Just lying. But at some point, we got to say, these people are gaslighting. They really want us to believe that Joe Biden, this man that we saw in the debate, who walked out of there, looked like he could barely make it to the stage. And then once he got on stage, had a piss poor performance and could barely finish his sentences, looked like he was falling asleep. Y'all want me to believe that this is the best we got? And it's all the Democrats could come up with. Like Dean Phillips is not sitting there. Like Kamala Harris is not sitting there. Like Hakeem Jeffries is not sitting there. It's too many people in the bag of tricks that the Democrats have, that they have shut out, intentionally shut out, and kept from running for office so we could keep Joe in the seat that he's in. This is not going to mobilize young people to get out to vote. These young people, my son said, "Mom, who am I going to vote for? The white man or the old white man or the older white man?" When you use words like malarkey in a debate, when you use words like malarkey in your everyday sentences, when you typing up words like malarkey in your social media post to express yourself, sir, you have outlived your position. And I need somebody to be the no man. Not the nomad, the no man. Somebody got to stand up and say no. Somebody got to say that's enough. Somebody got to say, you know what? This ain't it. I have several trusted advisors, girlfriends who I've known at least 17 years going up to 40. And I tell them all the time, I need me some yes women. Because all y'all say is no. When I want to do something crazy, they say, nope, don't do that. You know, no, that's not a good idea, Shaletta. No, Shaletta, if I were you, I would not do that. And I would not run my business that way. If I were you, I would take this other option. They don't yes woman me. They don't give me the green light if the red light is right in front of me. I need somebody to put up a stop sign and say, you know what? And just be mad. Do we no longer admit when we made mistakes? When we do wrong things and we have the best intention, but we realize this ain't it. This not gonna work. Are we no longer man and woman enough in this country to say, you know what? I had this idea. I thought it was gonna work. it's not going to work. So I'm going to pivot and I'm going to do something different. And so here's the thing that I'm going to do that's different than the thing that I was going to do in the first place. And so I thought this was going to work. I realized it's not working. And so I'm going to do something different. Are we there? Well, we just dig our heels in and we don't realize that we need to pivot, and then we pivot and we just stick with a plan, even if it's a bad plan, even if it's a plan we know is not going to work. We just hang out with that plan. Okay. All right. Okay. We're going to see how that work out for you. I often say I don't like being a divorced parent, because there's a lot more stress on me than I realize. You know, all the stuff that Sean did as the husband and caretaker is now on me. And so I'm like, why am I so stressed out lately? Like, what is going on? It's because I've got responsibilities and roles that I've never had before. I was like, you know what? It is hard work being a man, because y'all got a lot of stuff to deal with. I don't ever want the role of a man. I don't ever want to be the provider and the caretaker and pay the bills and be the heavy lifter and be the security guard. I don't want that. I don't like the way it feels. I don't. I was like, you know what? I thought I wasn't going to get married, but I'm going to get married just so I could put the stress of being head of household on somebody else. Which made me remember and think about the fact that June is Men's Mental Health Month. I say all the time, I don't ever want to know what it's like to be a black man. Ever. Because the stress of what men have to go through. When, you know, one of the things that I tried to pride myself on is that when Sean walked in the house when I was married, that it was a place of peace. And, you know, I'll tell the kids, don't stress daddy out. If you got something, you know, we're going to talk about it over the weekend. If it's an emergency, let mommy know. And then we'll go talk to daddy together later. But let him get in the house. Let him get his clothes off. Let him take a shower. Let him do whatever. And then we're going to love on him first. Because as a man, I don't even know what he's had to deal with. And, you know, I got to get married again, because I want to do all this work by myself. And I really want to make sure that I understand the importance of men's mental health. And Men's Mental Health Month is a great way and a great opportunity to talk about it. And so I invited Dr. Jerry Huffman from United Healthcare of Minnesota. Dr. Jerry is the Chief Medical Officer for Population Health with United Healthcare. Dr. Jerry, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. And I was obviously listening to you talk about, you know, all the things about family and marriage and men and women. And is it okay if I add just a little bit to that?
Please, because you are the expert. I'm learning from you and I'm taking notes.
Oh, this is personal stuff, but it's you learn at work and you learn at home, right? If you're in a constant state of learning. So we're walking around on a college campus earlier this week with my youngest. It's orientation. He's heading off to college this fall.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are walking around with him, and I am blessed to have been with my best friend now for 32 years. And I'm looking at him, and we were talking about different things we do, and there's we've developed sort of this natural division of labor in our family. And we could not have had the blessings we had that wasn't, like you said, for each other. I'll give you a good example. I have absolutely no idea how much money is in our bank's account. I give her my money. She's managed everything for 32 years. I trust her with my life. And having that, like you said, that person that you can lean on, that person that you know you're sharing everything with, to do it alone, God bless you. It is so hard, and I'm so impressed that you're able to do it and to be a radio star.
Oh, well, you know, that was first. That's first. Kids come second. I got to be this radio star first, right? But, you know, the one thing about women, and you talk about your bride, is that we will go get attention. Right. We will go to the doctor and we'll say, you know what? I need some preventative care. I need to make my mental health a priority. I need to make my physical health a priority. Men won't go to the doctor until there's internal bleeding and organs start shutting down. What is going on? Why won't men go to the doctor?
I got news for you. Sometimes even the bleeding doesn't get them to go. I tell you, it's about women to a certain extent, and then not the way you're thinking. We did this research. We have something we call the Health Activation Index. And what we do is we measure decision making, the different decisions that a person can make in terms of how we measure 53 of them. And we get that down to the belly button level, every person within that's covered by United Healthcare. Mm-hmm. And we've noticed that if the Health Activation Index of a woman in the family goes up by, say 10 points, the health activation index of everyone in the family goes up 10 points. Mm-hmm. And so the take-home message for me in terms of leading my organization, if I'm talking to clients around this country and they're saying, man, we just aren't getting men, for example, go get their colon cancer screening. I say the way to get to them, if there's a woman in the house, it's through her. The chances of you successfully convincing them, the man runs at around 25-30%. But if you successfully convince the woman of the family that this is important, you can almost count on that man will be showing up for his colon cancer screening.
And you know why? Because we're going to nag the hell out of him until he does. Have you got the screening? Are you going to get the screening? Why haven't you gotten the screening? Are you going to call these people? Do you want me to call them? I'm trying not to nag you, but you won't listen. You know what? I'm going to call your mom if your mom's still alive and let her know you haven't gotten your cancer screening. I tried to tell you. Then she's going to call all your sisters. Have you talked to him? He won't listen to me. And then your sister's going to nag the hell out of you. That's how that works. That is the chain of command, Dr. Jerry.
It is absolutely true, and it saved my life. Oh, gosh, we're going back 22 years ago. My wife's a nurse, so we're a cliche. We met at work. And she made sure, even though I was young and very fit, still competitive in distance running, she's like, you got to get your annual. You got to get your annual. And I put it off. I feel great. I feel fine. Mm-hmm. She made me go. And one of the things that's important when a man goes, or even a woman, when you go, for that annual preventative visit, you are the key participant. I got news for you. If you have cancer inside of you and you aren't telling me about an ache or a pain or something going on that you've noticed, there's an extremely good chance that we miss it and it goes by. You've got to participate. So in this visit that she made me go to, I participated. And I said, I have this pain here in my neck. And my doc says, well, you work out pretty hard. You're running, 80 miles a week. Let's probably do that. And I said, I don't know. I think I feel a mass in here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm not sure I feel anything, but you know what? We'll check it out. Well, lo and behold, 13 days later, I'm starting chemotherapy for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So listen to the woman in your life. It may save it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Dr. Jerry, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about more tips. Since June is Men's Health Month, to raise awareness about the health challenges that men face and encourage them to take action and improve their health. More with Dr. Jerry when we come back. He's a mighty good man. He is joining us today, Dr. Jerry Hotman, Chief Medical Officer for Population Health with United Healthcare. It is June. It is Men's Health Month. He has been giving us tips about how men can take better care of themselves. And one of the tips that you have, and I know this is hard for men to do, Dr. Jerry, is know when to take it easy, especially when we've got 5,100 honeydew things for you to do. Taking time to de-stress. You know, we got she sheds. We got girlfriends trips. We got the wineries. We've got the spa. Y'all don't really got nothing.
No, I agree. Men need to take it down a notch. They need to spend time with their family. Mental health is key. They don't pay attention to it. They don't pay attention to the stress and anxiety. It's important to deal with these things when they're little and to find those people and professional resources in your life to use it. A lot of men do not want to participate in mental health care.
There's certainly a lot of ego involved there. And one of the great tools now that we're seeing some fantastic results from is the ability to use virtual healthcare so that you don't have to drive to an office. You can do it in the privacy of your home, in the privacy of your car. People are having mental health visits with professionals. And we're seeing about a 30% uptake in the utilization of that in terms of men between, oh, say, 28 and 55. And so that's a real huge place to go. But time spent with family and loved ones, like you said, taking it down a notch, that's really important, taking care of yourself time.
Okay. Now, I know that you do this every day. If there's some men listening, what's the one thing that you would want them to do before you leave the show, Dr. Jerry? Out of all the tips that you've given us, the one most important thing?
I want to convince them, and I'm going to give you two more reasons. I already gave you one. I'm going to give you two more reasons why they should visit their doc regularly for those preventative visits. Obviously, there's things when you get to the right age, like colon cancer screening and skin cancer screening and prostate. But there's a lot of empty time in there before you get to that age that's key, that docs are not seeing men. In fact, we just looked at millennials within our population of about 14 million people. And millennial men, we have almost 10% of millennial men that have not seen a doctor or filled a prescription in 2 years. So that's the number one thing. I'm going to give them a couple reasons why they should do that, right? Because they don't listen to the stuff like, well, we want you to go there for your colon cancer screening. Because frankly, men are not as good at listening to bad news as women are. Right. So I'll tell you what, here's two things. One, I guarantee this is going to sound familiar. You tell your man, I need you to go to the doc. He says, why? I feel fine. There's nothing wrong with me. That is correct. So the number one reason I want to give them to go to that doc this year is to confirm that nothing is wrong with you. And then when you go there and you confirm it, you can feel good. You did it. And if you confirm for the next 45 years that nothing is wrong with you, guess what? You're winning the game. Second reason I want to convince them to go see that doc every year just for a quick visit. It's important to catch little things before they come big things, like blood pressure, which in black men is a killer. Blood pressure, you don't feel it. It is a silent killer. This is how you end up with heart attacks and strokes down the line. You pick up that high blood pressure when you're 37 years old, and you take a little tiny pill once a day, and you don't have that heart attack 22 years later. You don't have that stroke when you're 58. So key things to understand, confirm nothing's wrong, catch little things before they become big things. When you're there, your doc will make sure if you're age appropriate that you get your preventative screening. And last but not least, like me, listen to that woman in your life. When she gets you to go, they may find something unexpected that can save your life.
Well, Dr. Jerry, I'm so glad that you are here because I know folks like my friend Jimmy Francis, high-stress job. Jonathan Weinhagen, high-stress job. Chad Hartman, high-stress job, caring for special needs children just like Jonathan. And you know, these are my friends, and I want them to live a long time. And in order to do that, they've got to get to the doctor. We've been talking to Dr. Jerry Hartman. He's been joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And I want you to keep joining us. We've got another hour of the Shaletta Show coming up.